From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. NAPS recently concluded its 69th biennial national convention, which was comprised of 1,200 participants. In addition to transacting its internal business, NAPS approved a series of resolutions, including one calling for Congress to pass legislation to permit the Postal Service to invest its retirement assets in a mix of securities rather than exclusively low-yielding U.S. Treasury bonds. In April 2023, the Postal Service's Inspector General estimated that had the Postal Service not been restricted to Treasury securities and invested in a mix of 60% stocks and 40% bonds, its retirement funds would have generated a surplus of over $797 billion rather than surrendering a $96 billion deficit. That was in fiscal year 2022. To kick off the convention, Senator Richard Blumenthal, a member of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, spoke to the convention via video about the importance of the Postal Service and his deep concerns about deteriorating postal performance resulting from the Postal Service Headquarters Delivering for America plan. Senator Blumenthal also voiced his strong support for restoring postal police authority to protect postal employees, postal property, and the mail, both on and off postal property. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy also addressed the convention, primarily about staying the course with his now three-year-old operational plan, notwithstanding the difficulties it is encountering. The NAPS convention also had the privileges of hearing from and engaging with Postal Regulatory Commission Commissioner Ashley Poling, whose confirmation vote on renomination to the commission is pending before the full Senate, and it is expected to reach a vote when the Senate reconvenes this fall. Commissioner Poling was gracious enough to participate in this episode of NAPS Chat, which was recorded on convention stage on the second day of the NAPS convention.
Congratulations, Ashley, on your successful confirmation hearing, and we eagerly anticipate the final vote on the floor of the Senate for your next term. I want to start with a question, and it relates to your confirmation hearing. In your prepared statement at the Senate hearing, you mused about the Postal Service is in danger of the American public losing confidence in it. I referenced there are a number of public polling, there's polling data that would seem to indicate that there's been a significant slippage in public confidence in the Postal Service, particularly since 2019. But you stated in your testimony that the PRC, quote, gives voice to America's concerns about the future of the Postal Service. Can you dive into that slightly bit? How does the PRC give voice to America?
Yeah. I'm happy to. Thank you so much, Bob, and thank you all for having me today. I think it's really important also to state first, you know, I think with what's going on in terms of service performance going being challenging, particularly since 2023, I think it's really important to make the point that postal workers, you all, have done a tremendous job with everything. And these are very much, I think, operational changes that I think the Postal Service is still trying to work out. But I just want to make sure that's very clear that when I speak about and when I spoke about in my testimony losing that confidence in service performance, that has nothing to do with Americans losing confidence in their public and their postal workers. I think you all do an incredible job. And I think the service performance is something I just want to make sure that's clear. You all are the heart of this country, and I'm so grateful for what you do every day. But I also know how much you value mail that is fast and reliable, and I know how central that is to the Postal Service's mission. So to answer Bob's question, when I talk about that in terms of, you know, what the PRC can do and how we can improve it, I'm really getting at what can we do in terms of quality of service And we have a different role than the Postal Service. You know, they are the operator, we are the regulator, but we do have a lot of transparency and accountability responsibilities when it does come to service performance. And we do those through our annual reports. I talked about that a little bit. But another area, I mentioned this Delivering for America plan that I know you all are all very aware of, but in April of 2023, we actually opened a Delivering for America public inquiry docket. And what that allows us to do is really ask the Postal Service a lot of questions about what it is doing. And something else that came up repeatedly also in the hearing, Bob, that I'm still very much hoping the Postal Service will file, is we actually have something called an advisory opinion process, which means that when there is a nationwide or substantially nationwide change in service, the Postal Service is supposed to file for that with us at the Commission. Now, there have been discussions about this happening. I hope it happens. I think that's a really excellent opportunity for us to provide more critical oversight from the Commission. And what it also allows us to do, which is a little different than this docket I previously mentioned, is we get to have things like public hearings. We get to hear from folks across the country about how this has affected them. And I think it's really important for people to understand what's going on and to know how these changes are impacting them on a daily basis.
We heard yesterday from the Postmaster General, and I think this is an honest statement. He's a little bit averse to oversight, whether it be congressional, PRC, Government Accountability Office, or so forth. There are two primary tools the PRC uses to oversee postal operations. One is, particularly with regard to the Delivering for America plan, that is the public inquiry, which we are currently in the midst of. We have the annual compliance determination, where you actually determine whether or not the Postal Service actually complied with the law. Another opportunity that you had in its sort of precedent setting is the PRC issued a show cause order to the Postal Service because they have been reluctant or opposed to file for that advisory opinion. Tell me what the impact of that show cause order is. Have they adequately responded to that show cause order? What is next? And this is a loaded question. And you know that the Senate, the members of Congress of the Senate, have actually introduced legislation to require them to request an advisory opinion. So wrapping that all up in a bow, how does the PRC deal with this confluence of issues regarding DFA?
Thank you, Bob. You always do a good job asking me multifaceted questions, so I'll do my best to remember all the parts, but if I forget anything, you let me know. So I think and I'm really actually glad you brought this up because I meant to say it in the last question, so you gave me an opportunity. I think it's important to say what a show cause order is, and I know all this stuff sounds very technical, but essentially what it all is getting at is how can we help the postals, how can we find out what's going on, really, is what we're doing through all of these tools. So this advisory opinion I talked about, we actually did this for the first time in the Commission's history. We issued a show cause order this past April in 2024, which basically said to the Postal Service, file an advisory opinion in 40 days, or tell us why you're not filing one in 20. So the Postal Service elected to say that they did not need to file an advisory opinion and got back to us in about 20 days and said, you know, for a number of reasons why they did not think that they needed to be filing one. I'm only going to speak for myself and not for my fellow commissioners, but I would say I don't believe that response was sufficient, and I think it is really critical that this advisory opinion is filed. There have been just a number of sweeping changes, all of which we kind of discuss in our show cause order, that I think really need to be analyzed. And when we do that, I mentioned the part of the advisory opinion process that gets at including public hearings and that sort of thing. But it also allows us to just ask a number of questions throughout the process and find out, you know, and understand the data, what's been going on. And this is really how we would be able to do this in a more substantial way. So I am really hopeful that we will get that authority, or that will be filed with us, so we have that authority to do so. But to answer some of Bob's other questions, and Bob, let me know again if I'm leaving anything out, but the Senate did, there was a bill that was introduced, it actually came up at the hearing, that would give the Postal Regulatory Commission more authority. And the reason that is right now, the advisory opinion process is exactly as it sounds. It's advisory. So even when the Postal Service, it's usually about 90 days, let's say they file it with us, we spend 90 days analyzing this. You know, we've got an amazing team of technical experts, lawyers, economists, who are really doing great work on this plan and really doing this process very thoroughly. But at the end of those 90 days, when we file this and send it back to the Postal Service, they don't actually have to do anything with it. And that is, in my opinion, I think could really bear some further scrutiny. You know, we spend a lot of time on these recommendations, and I think they're really strong ones. And I am hopeful that this legislation, it really does give the PRC some more authority when it comes to the process. And I think from where I stand, just having some more checks and balances involved would be critical. Again, you know, even if the Postal Service were to consider, you know, some of the things we're recommending, I think that would be a tremendous benefit to the public. And, you know, I think it is really, really important that we do so.
Permit me to follow up on that question. At the confirmation hearing, Senator Roger Marshall, Republican from Kansas, in his questioning of you and Commissioner Ann Fisher, who's also undergoing confirmation process and was approved by the committee, Senator Marshall reflected a deep frustration in the apparent lack of postal executives accepting responsibility and accountability for the postal performance, customer satisfaction, and the resulting volume decline. Existing law provides, as you said, PRC with specific authority with regard to rates and requirements of transparency. I think you answered my first part of my question, was does the PRC need more authority?
Yeah.
I'm going to say your personal opinion is probably yes. When the legislation that was introduced, in addition to more greater transparency requiring, also had two other provisions in it, which I think were rather interesting, and I'd like your take on it. Number one, it would permit the PRC to go back and look at things that have already been implemented and make recommendations in already implemented changes, transformational changes. And the second issue it is that the PRC could preclude the Postal Service from implementing any changes that, in the PRC's view, would be detrimental to quality of postal services. I'm just curious on your personal take on those last two provisions.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the bill is, as with all bills, so there's a lot of iterations that have to take place. So even the one, I know you all are familiar with the Postal Service Reform Act that passed in 2022, that I think brought a lot of needed changes. So while I was not on the Hill when that passed, I worked on a lot of versions of that legislation with Bob over here through the years. So we spent a lot of time together. I guess I would say, you know, I think one of the best parts about the legislative process, as slow as it may seem sometimes, is I think it's really important to take the time to consider what makes the most sense and the best way to implement it. And I think those are really good questions, Bob, but I think probably we need to have a little bit more input on the best ways for those things to work. I think that the Senate bill is absolutely going in the right direction. I talked about that at my hearing. I think it's excellent. I think the message of the PRC having clearer authority is really important, again, for oversight. Something else I want to mention about that bill, though, that I really like, which I know wasn't one of the specific things, is it does require the Postal Service to make sure they're giving us the data we need when we are analyzing the advisory opinion. And I think that's critical, because if we don't know what's going on, then we can't do the most thorough job we can do. So I think it's probably a bill. I know that it was something that was talked about being considered in the last markup. I think they're moving it up to a later one. And when I say that, sorry, the committee process of kind of going through the bill and amendments and all of that. I imagine there will be a lot more discussions about it. But what I am most excited about with this bill, and why I hope it does really get some traction, is that I think it provides really critical oversight authority that is needed right now of the Postal Service.
One of the other issues that was addressed to the committee hearing, and the questions were addressed both to you and to Commissioner Fisher, and that was the concern about the impact of the mail slowdown on election mail. We're in a general election where There are questions about the integrity of the postal of mail-in balloting, the speed with which mail-in ballots are going to be processed by the Postal Service. I'm curious, to what extent does the PRC have a role in ensuring that election material is delivered as quickly as possible, that it's not subject to the whims of the DFA that's have at least the tendency to slow things down?
I think that's a really critical question, considering how close we are to an election. I think, so one of the reasons we, you know, I mentioned already this public inquiry docket that we've opened up into Delivering for America, that's the tool we're currently working with at the commission. And I think one of the reasons, you know, we opened that up is because we were really concerned about the impact that this plan was having on the delivery of mail and packages, right? So encompassed within that is election mail. So that's definitely a part of it. That's definitely a way we're continuing to ask questions. I mentioned in my remarks that we have these reports. We have an annual compliance determination where we're able to ask some questions later on and follow up with the Postal Service about service compliance. From my perspective, sometimes I wish we had some tools that were a little faster, but we're working on that. We're working on ways we can do that within our authority. But in that, even when that does come out on the prior fiscal year, our annual compliance determination, we are able to track how election mail was delivered. And that's something, you know, we've done every time there's been an election, we have gone through that in our annual compliance determination. And I think, you know, I think the biggest thing that will be interesting to see is obviously a lot of changes have happened through the Delivering for America plan in recent time. So it'll be really critical to look at how that is going to impact the election process. And I don't know that we have that answer yet, but I can assure you within the authorities we do have at the commission, we are doing all that we can from a transparency perspective.
I want to ask you a governance question because it's sort of ironic. The Postal Board of Governors are, when they are nominated, one of the requirements is that they reflect the general view of the public. And they serve, they're all presidentially appointed, they serve the same staggered terms, but they come with a different back, the current Board of Governors, with the exception of maybe, of probably Ron Stroman, doesn't really have any postal experience. On the other hand, the five members of the Postal Regulatory Commission, who are nominated based on their technical expertise, seem to be reflecting the American public more than the Board of Governors. I'm just curious, what is the dynamic? What's the difference? I mean, you're all presidential appointees. You're full-time, Board of Governors are part-time. You reflect technical, but really public and the other. I'm just curious that dynamic.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad you asked it that way because I remember, you know, when you talk about public interest, I think we very much, both of us, both the Postal Regulatory Commission and the Board of Governors, are serving the public. That is our job. We are supposed to protect the postal customer. We are supposed to make sure the mailing community is protected. I think it's essential that we are always paying attention to what's going on. We have a critical part of our process in any order we have a good example, we actually just opened up our three-year review on the market dominant rate making system. I say three-year because we opened up a few years early. There have been a lot of challenges. We've talked to a lot of stakeholders about this. That's one of the reasons we did open it up early, so that we could examine it early. In that process, we have something called notice and comment proceedings. That allows anyone to be able to file comments with us and really let their voice be heard. Similarly, if there were an advisory opinion, the public could also file those comments with us. So we do have a lot of ways and mechanisms, I think, for the public to be involved themselves. But I think more importantly, in a lot of ways, or as importantly, really looking at the quality of service I think that people expect, and looking at what we can do from our perspective to make sure that is as fast and reliable as possible is critical. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but this, you know, we are, again, we're the regulator, they are the operator, but we do fill, I think, a really critical space when it comes to that transparency and accountability. And while, you know, I'm going to mention it again because it's a good example, the advisory opinion process does allow for that tremendous technical expertise that we have in terms of, as I mentioned, an amazing team, amazing staff, of economists and lawyers and people who are really able to get into the nitty-gritty of these of what's going on and really analyze it. We have that experience, absolutely. But I believe, you know, as a commissioner, it is absolutely my responsibility to be looking at what is best for the public and what can I be doing to make sure that's represented. Several years ago, we actually, the Postal Service lengthened service standards in an advisory opinion case, actually, back in 2021. And the commission wrote, I think, an incredibly thoughtful, thorough, very well analyzed opinion. I very much supported that opinion. I had a bit of additional commentary, though, because I was very concerned that the Postal Service did not look into how this plan affected rural America, how it affected elderly Americans, how it affected low-income Americans. And so in my additional commentary, I voiced that I did not think the Postal Service should be moving forward with that plan. So I think that's a good example, though, of, you know, and again, supported the full opinion. Those are my additional thoughts that I had. But I think that's where it's really important that we have that ability to do that, I think, on the commission, and to really look at ways that, what are we doing to make sure that, you know, the country is protected and that they're getting the mail service they need. And I think that's a good example of a way that we can do that.
I would just make an observation that,
thank you.
I would just make an observation. On the one hand, the PRC is doing everything it can to try to seek out public opinion, public comments with regard to certain operational changes the Postal Service has made. On the other hand, the Board of Governors, at least for the two past scheduled Board of Governors meetings, is no longer accepting public comments. There used to be a public comment period at the conclusion of a Board of Governors meeting. That has been eliminated, at least for the last two Board of Governors meetings. So it'd be my hope that they would reinstitute it for the next public-faced board meeting. I'm not asking you to comment, but...
I was going to say, I very much noticed, I believe they reduced it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but I think to once a year, right? I believe in November that people can submit comments. Again, I'm always going to say more transparency is better. So, you know, it isn't a choice I get to make. I'm not on the Board of Governors, but I think more chances for the public to be able to weigh in are essential. So I do hope they provide more opportunities in the future.
Final question, Ashley. What message do you have to our 1,200 delegates in the room? What should they be doing coming away from here?
All I want to say is thank you for everything you do every day. You are just so critical to, I think, people's, you know, this reliance on this great service is because of all of you. And we are so lucky that you do it every day. And I am sure it's very challenging when there are a lot of changes being made around you that you have to carry out and you have to do. And I think that's amazing and so admirable. And but your commitment to the mail and to your customers is truly unparalleled. And I think particularly working a bit in rural America and rural states, I got to see just that commitment to the post office and the postal worker. So I just want to say thank you for all you're doing. Keep doing it. We need you more than ever, and we're so grateful to have you. And I feel so happy that I get to work with your tremendous leadership at your organization, and I just can't say enough about how much they do, I know, for all of you and how much they care about you. And I'm just grateful I get to be a part of working with them.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
That was Postal Regulatory Commissioner Ashley Poling, which was recorded live at the NAPS Biennial Convention. I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review on your chosen podcast platform. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna spend